This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we are speaking with Mr. Don Simborg, the author of the newly released book, What Comes After Homo Sapiens. Simborg has a background in medicine and scientific research. He has served on the faculties of Johns Hopkins and the University of California, San Francisco Schools of Medicine. Mr. Simborg, a pleasure to have you with us today on the program.
Fine, happy to be here.
So, Mr. Simborg, how did you become interested in exploring how Homo sapiens could evolve?
Well, my background has a sort of a dual track. One, I'm a physician who always had an interest in medical genetics and genomics and evolutionary biology. But I'm also been heavily involved in technology, computer technology, as applied to medicine. So I've been involved in developing electronic medical records and artificial intelligence and medical decision making. And it turns out that that combination, artificial intelligence in particular, and genomics and genetics, have a huge impact on what's going to happen to our species going forward.
Now, you structure your book in the form of asking and then refuting what are the likely ways the next species will arise. Why did you take that approach?
Well, I wanted to make sure that I covered all the most likely possibilities. So when I started my research into this topic about our evolutionary biology and what is likely to be our path to the next human species, I wasn't sure when I started what the answer would be. So I looked at what I thought were the most likely paths to that next step. They included a number of areas that turned out to me not likely, but the ones that were most likely had to do with, first of all, why not what got us here in the first place? We evolved through what was called Darwinian natural selection, and certainly that would be one of the most likely candidates to lead to the next human species. As you may know, we are all on Earth one human species, Homo sapiens. That hasn't always been the case. There's been multiple human species coexisting at the same time for most of the time that we've existed. So that happened through Darwinian natural selection, and it seemed logical that that would continue to happen. My conclusion, however, is that that will not be what happens. Instead, it's going to be usurped by two processes that are created by our species. Two of our tools. One is artificial intelligence. The second is genetic engineering. Those two tools created by us are going to lead to the generation of the next human species long before Darwinian evolution will have a chance to affect our future.
Also, how do you anticipate technological advances will play a role in the transition from Homo sapiens to what you call Homo nouveau?
Yeah, Homo nouveau is just an arbitrary name I gave to the next species. All it means is new man. The way that AI in particular is going to play a role, as you know, artificial intelligence is our attempt to put human intelligence into a computer, and we're making great progress in doing that. We now have computers that can do very advanced functions, much better in many areas than humans can do. They can do things like learning. They can learn how to do things. They can program themselves. And the impact that I see on our evolution is that it's going to help us understand one of the two most common complicated entities, biologic entities on Earth. The most complicated biological entity is the human brain. The other complicated biological entity is the human genome. The human genome, as it turns out, is far more complicated than we ever anticipated. Back in 2003, when we completed the Human Genome Project, we learned a lot about the human genome. But it turns out that what we learned was that we really don't know that much. It turns out, in particular, that much of what's going on in our genetics and our genomics relates to the 98% of the genome that doesn't have anything to do with producing genes, what we call our traditional genes, those things that create the proteins. Instead, that 98% of our genome relates, much of it relates to what's called the epigenome. Trying to figure out how to do genetic engineering that not only affects our genes, but also affects our epigenome, or perhaps doesn't affect our epigenome, is going to be very complicated. Right now, we do genetic engineering. We're very early in human genetic engineering. Most of that is aimed at curing genetic diseases. So we're in the early stages of that. We're making some good progress. One of the genetic diseases of humans is cancer. And we've now started using genetic engineering to cure a few cancers, a small number right now, but that I anticipate will increase. We're also making progress in other genetic diseases. When we do genetic engineering today, we're doing it on what we call somatic cells in the human body, not germline cells. So the difference is somatic cells, is when we try to cure a genetic disease today, we're only changing the genes of a single individual. We are not even attempting to change the genes of what we call the germline, which are basically your sperm and your eggs and any fertilized eggs in vitro fertilization. So we don't experiment on the germline because we don't know enough about its safety and we don't know how to do it very well. So it's going to take some time. It's going to take decades before we get good enough at genetic engineering of the somatic cells that only affect the individual, that are not passed on to any of the offsprings, before we can even begin to experiment on the germline cells. So I anticipate that's going to take probably till the end of the century, at least in my opinion. What's going to help us do that is our artificial intelligence tools in studying the genome. So that's the relationship. So the AI part is just a tool. It's an enabler. It's really the genetic engineering that's going to lead to the next species. And it's only going to happen once we can change the germline, the cells that affect all of the future offspring, rather than just those of a single individual.
And your perspective is interesting today. We are with Don Simborg, the author of the newly released book, What Comes After Homo Sapiens, here on eHealth Radio's Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Mr. Simborg, do you believe that we're opening a Pandora's box by tampering with the human genome?
Well, potentially we are. And that's why I think we have to be very cautious. And that's why I think it's going to be a long time before we tamper with the germline. I also think there's some dangers even in the non-germline, what we're doing today. We've had some untoward incidents. We've had some deaths in some of the early clinical trials of genetic engineering. So it has not been simple, even though some of these genes that we're dealing with seem to be easy to fix. That is, they only involve a single nucleotide or a single amino acid in a protein that's been mutated. It is not a simple task to develop a clinical tool that can correct that in a living human being. We are making a lot of progress, however. So the experience so far has been cautious. It's taken a lot longer than I think anybody thought. But in recent years, particularly after the development of some of the tools called CRISPR, it's probably too complicated to get into on this call, but we're getting some very advanced tools now that seem to be making it simpler and safer to do genetic engineering on humans. So I'm optimistic that we will make strong progress in the coming decades in genetic engineering for genetic diseases. The question of the future and what relates to the possible new species development will only occur later when we get beyond the current genetic engineering phase into germline genetic engineering. Yes, we are opening up Pandora's box in some ways, which is why we have to be very careful.
And how far into the future do you foresee Homo Novo emerging?
My analysis of what has to really happen for that to occur would take probably 2 to 3 centuries. Now, that sounds like a long time, but in evolutionary terms, it's a blink of an eye. If you were to let normal evolution, Darwinian natural selection, it would take thousands of years, maybe tens of thousands of years, before we'd likely see another human species. So the fact that I believe we're going to do this in 2 to 3 centuries would be a dramatic change in the course of evolution for humans. Other species are going to continue to evolve the traditional way.
Lastly, and in conclusion, what might this all mean for our species today?
I believe it's mostly good for our species in that we are going to make advances in human health, and human, particularly in curing certain genetically related diseases. And there are thousands and thousands of diseases that have a genetic basis. I think the question that we all need to think about is what happens when we want to do more than just cure diseases? What happens when we want to do human enhancement? That becomes a lot more controversial. What if we want to prolong life, decrease aging? What if we want to increase intelligence? What if we want to increase athletic ability? And on, music ability. You can think of many things that probably almost certainly have some genetic basis that people may want to experiment with in the future. That's where I think the controversies will arise much more than in the attempt to cure genetic diseases.
Well, Mr. Simborg, we do thank you for your time and for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Where can listeners get further information and make purchase of the book?
Well, they can go to my website, which is www.whatcomesafterhomosapiens.com, and you can learn a lot more about the book. You can also go to a section that I call The Journey, which is recapitulating my process in trying to study this problem. So I take you through many of the main people and events that I learned about in trying to determine this issue. So my website has a lot of information in it, and you can also obviously buy the book from it by hitting the buy button.
Again, it is What Comes After Homo Sapiens. Again, Mr. Simborg, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
And thank you. We've been speaking with Mr. Don Simborg, the author of the newly released book, What Comes After Homo Sapiens. And for further details, visit whatcomesafterhomosapiens.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.